Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Michelle, who was among the folks who was in the live audience at the video workshop that we recently had to kick off the year of training to live in this here now. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks, Jen. Hi.
Hey. I was just thinking it's a bit like seeing the live recording of a TV show or something, isn't it? It's kind of exciting to get to be one of the folks who's right there in the room with all of it happening.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a really fun feeling. And I've participated in it, I think, every time. Maybe I missed one. But, yeah, it's one of those just say yes opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something really, you know, we talk about how being in person with Sangha has its own unique thing, and then it's so fun how we have all these far-flung opportunities, and this is the one in the year where we really combine both of those energies. So it's really fun. It's a great way to kick off the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I haven't actually participated in person with Sangha for some time, so for me I really was feeling that aspect of it and just so grateful to. Yeah, there's nothing quite like just being in a room with Sangha and just looking at practice together. And so it's always a wonderful experience.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience of participating or what you saw or, you know, kind of what the experience was like for you.
Well, you know, when I first walked in the room, it was actually had kind of a welling up of emotion. Because it has been a while since I've been, you know, in a group of Sangha like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Sherry was sitting there and she said, oh, look at these faces. And it was, you know, this feeling of coming home.
Yeah.
And having been away, what always happens is, you know, conditioning wants to isolate.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm away, there's, you know, even without realizing it, sometimes these walls get built up and, when I just get in that room with Sangha, it just melts away, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm home.
Mm. And it's instantaneous, isn't it? Which is what I love about practice, because in practice, what we're all always clear about is there's only this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no such thing as, well, you haven't been around for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Where have you been?
Yeah.
But as soon
right,
as we're here,
mm-hmm.
we're here.
Right, and of course the voices are saying that, you know, well, everyone, you know, they're wondering where you've been, but it's not like that. Once I'm there, that all goes away, and I'm just there, and we're all there together, just looking at whatever we're looking at in the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
Yeah. And what else? Well, you know, last year was this whole sports. Analogy and kind of like the cheerleading, and there was like, you know, all this energy of upping your game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful that whole year just to have that year-long
mm-hmm.
support. And so it was exciting to see what's next. And it feels really simple and right somehow, this training to be in this here now.
Yeah.
I love the focus on just training. You know,
yep.
we're just training, and that it's really not about getting somewhere. It's
yep.
not about training in order to be good at,
yep.
You know, in order to reach some point, some ending point where we'll be where we want to be. It's just engaging in the process. It's just everyone participating in this training.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, this feeling of, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's so well put, Michelle. And it's really my experience, too, and I had a very similar experience of it that, as you're talking about, that it feels like, in an interesting sort of way, it follows perfectly on last year because there was so much enthusiasm, and I project
mm-hmm.
such a deepening of practice across the board for Sangha, and
mm-hmm.
that's the place that often, this is a place I look a lot in my own practice where when we really are here, when we're just here in the present moment a good percentage of the time, what begins
mm-hmm.
to happen is life starts to work, and
mm-hmm.
it becomes
mm-hmm.
really joyful and really fun
mm-hmm.
and exciting,
mm-hmm.
and how easily then, without us really noticing it, conditioning kind of does this shell game and begins to move in and put our attention on the content of, oh, this is fun. I like this. I like it when my when my life works. I want the, you know, certain things. And just on this very subtle level begins to move the attention to content and has us forget that the reason we're having those experiences is that we're training. We're training to be in the present moment. So it feels so perfect that we're now going into a year of focusing on the process of being here, the training, as you say.
I think also with the game, the idea of the game and upping our game, there's still, it's kind of easy for conditioning to slip in that feeling of, you know, trying to get somewhere. And because the game, it is kind of, there's the winning and losing and there's the scorekeeping. And even though we were kind of taking that out of it, it's easy for conditioning. You know, if you kind of keep on the same metaphor long enough, conditioning kind of slips in. And suddenly, you are stuck in content.
Yeah.
So it's great to just change the theme,
to
change the focus, even though we're really just still doing practice.
Exactly.
We're still doing.
That's all we're ever doing.
But great to just change. Okay, now we're doing this, and conditioning has to kind of, it'll take it a while to catch up with us, I think.
Yeah, that's a great image. Yeah, it does, and it truly does. It truly does. And I love that, you know, what that really speaks to is that as conditioning begins to catch up, you know, whenever that happens, March, April, then that's what we get to train with. And that's what I'm looking forward to through the year. And I've already noticed it so much is that training theme is so big that anything that comes down the pike, you know, a big piece of content from life, a big surprise, you know, great or something that conditioning would say is not so great, or conditioning tries to throw in a monkey wrench, whatever it is, we can always train with it, no matter what it is. Training is always available.
Exactly. I mean, that's what struck me, too. It's like, well, whatever is going on, this is what, you know, we can just be training to be in this here now.
Exactly.
It kind of all just comes down to that simple practice. And whatever's going on.
So the year-long retreat that the video workshop kicks off is now open for registration. I think the registration closes February 3rd. And I wonder, just for folks who have not participated in one of those year-long workshops before, if you might say a little bit about what you've seen as the benefits in your own practice of following along with the Sangha theme for a year.
You know, it's good to just be committed for a long period of time. To feel like, we're in this together. We're going for the 12 months, and just to know that you have these things lined up. You know, there's going to be an email class in February, and then there's going to be something after that. So it doesn't feel like it's just one of things. And just to feel that sense of participation that you signed up for and you're committed to over a longer period.
I think that is so key, isn't it? Because it just, you know, it waxes and wanes. Sometimes we really, really feel like it. I really want to practice. I'll never not want to practice. Well, guess what? At some point, you know, there's going to be something else going on, and I'm, quote, not going to feel like it. But that's such a great point, that if we've made that commitment, then, well, okay, this is what I've said I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. And what's so powerful about that is, of course, if we can practice in the times when, quote, I don't want to, we get to see through the really, you know, the stuff that's really pulling the strings. If we're only ever practicing when, quote, I want to, there's a whole lot of conditioning that gets to stay in place that never gets seen.
Yeah, it's, and also when you look back at the year, you know, having finished the past year, because even having signed up for the year-long retreat, there's the waxing and waning that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, conditioning will want to come in and focus on the waning part. And but when you look at, when you look back at the whole year and review, you know, what we've done, what it's like, know, I really have been participating. There's this evidence here, and you want to keep going.
Precisely. Yes, that it gives you a sense of your own adequacy, your own willingness to really practice. Oh, very exciting. So that was quick, wasn't it? We're already at the 5 o'clock hour.
It always goes fast.
Quickly.
Yes.
But Michelle, was there anything else that you wanted to add in before we end?
I don't know. I guess just encouraging, you know, anyone, if you're on the fence about signing up or not, just say yes.
Yeah, it's so true. Just say yes, and then the fun begins. You know.
Yeah, and let life happen.
Conditioned mind.
Yeah. Just say yes, and I'm just looking forward to this next year of year-long retreat. And I think the first thing is an email class coming up.
Yeah, coming right up.
Which is just, it's great to have something, that next thing, you know, that, okay,
yeah,
we got something on the calendar.
Yeah,
precisely. And the Zen stories are wonderful. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So for people, that reminds me, thank you, for people who weren't able to participate in the video workshop, I know I saw an email come through with a link to it. So I don't know if that, I'm guessing that went to the whole Sangha. I'm not sure. And I'm feel quite certain, and maybe Michael can back me up on this, that there's a link somewhere on the website at this point to go back and watch it, because, you know, I'm certainly going to do that. I know, even if for people who did participate, to get to see it again. But that reminds me that, you know, some of the themes that are coming up were laid out in there. And they're also in, if you go to the registration page for the year-long workshop, it talks about some of the particulars of the programs, because there are a couple really fun new sort of practice intensive things that are a part of this year that are brand new. They weren't a part of last year. And all of the detail on those is on that webpage, so people can check that out as well. But exactly as you said, that it's so good to have the next thing on the calendar. And when you sign up for the whole year, you always have that. You always know what the next thing is.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
It is a good deal, yep. Well, thanks for participating with us tonight, Michelle.
Okay, thanks for asking me. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Take good care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. So, Michael, as I turn it over to you, just to underline, it's probably on your list, too, that the deadline for signing up for the year-long retreat, I think, is February 3rd.
Yes, it is. It is February 3rd.
And not that you would be interested, I know, but just so you know, for the rest of the listeners, by this time next week, we'll be in Zambia. So
wow,
we might have blogs. I know you're not a big.
Did I refresh now? wow, this time next week you'll be in Zambia.
We'll be there. We'll be hopefully sound asleep. Yeah.
Great.
And no,
that's very exciting.
Not to make any big promises, because you know we just never know what technology is going to do. But we're sure crossing our fingers and hoping to be able to send back some fun audio updates that you guys can play during the good news update section. So we'll see.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So I think that was it. Have a great show.
Yes, and I'll see you on the blog then.
Yes, we'll be blogging. I don't like to promise, you know, right away blog. So maybe a week from tomorrow or Thursday, but we'll do our best. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you, Michael. Have a good show.
Okay, we will.
Okay, good night.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
You sound great.
Did you hear the rumor that I'm in bed with the Huber Cure?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought that's what the comment was. Yes, I'm doing a modified Huber Cure. So I propped myself up to get to talk to you and everybody else this evening. So, yeah, if I, you know, do some dramatic coughing and that sort of thing, that's what it is.
Well, I appreciate your willingness to join.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I wouldn't miss it. I mean, I'd have to be a whole lot sicker than this to miss it. So that was fun, wasn't it? Listening
yes,
to those
who
talk about that. And a great, I'm excited about this year. But the thing that was mentioned, aside from, there, you know this. You're going to say this, that Jen's actually going to be in New York on Saturday on her way, right? To do a workshop with folks there. And I bet people could still sign up. It's one of those, you know, Oh, sure. If you just heard about it, you're still welcome.
Right.
And then she'll hop on the plane and race off to Zambia. And we'll be doing the email class, which they often participate in even from there, which is crazy to me. But they you know, they're young and strong and sincere and willing. And this one that I can't remember actually whether Michelle or Jen mentioned it, but that it is this email class is on the old Zen stories. And we've never, as far as I can remember, we've never done anything with old Zen stories. Old Zen stories that many of us adore, right, and know really well, but often don't apply to our own lives. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You read them and
or
hear them and think, oh, yeah, that's great. And then that's it. It's not, oh, well, now how does that work in my life? And that's what we're going to get a chance to do with this email class. So I'm pretty thrilled about that.
That's great. I can't wait.
Did I stomp all over your announcements?
No. That's
good.
Most of them. Yes. As Michelle and Jen talked about, having that support all year long is really great. So the year-long retreat includes workshops, email classes, some new practice intensives that are fun, and the sign-up is by February 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, it's great to practice in person. And as you just mentioned, Jen will be leading a workshop in the big New York City this Saturday, January 31st. It's called Beginning a Year of Conscious Compassionate Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And all that information and more is at livingcompassion.org/schedule.
Yeah. Now, one other point about the email class. This is one of the ones that is included in the year-long retreat, right? So if people have signed up for the year-long retreat, they are automatically included in the email class. If they're not a part of the year-long retreat, they can still join us. There is a charge for it, and all of that is on the registration page.
Yes. And it also might be helpful to mention at this point that some of the other later offerings that are part of the year-long retreat are not available for a la carte sign-up.
That's right. Yeah, some are, but...
So if you want the whole smorgasbord, sign up for the year-long retreat.
Mm-hmm. It just so messes with conditioned mind. You know, it's worth it just for that right there.
Yes. And I was really appreciating what Michelle said about having that year-long commitment. I know something's coming up in a couple of weeks, and then, you know, I focus my energy on old Zen stories for a month. And, you know, there's great expansion in that. And then there's a short break, and then the next thing comes. And it's just so supportive. Mm.
Yes, because of that waxing and waning business. You know, everything is waxing and waning. And if we go into a waning stage and there's nothing going on to bring us back, we can wane for a long time. And once we realize that difference between living a conscious present life and living with karmic conditioning and unconsciousness, we know that what we want to do is be present, then having those external supports and reminders, the things that will bring us back from a place that we wouldn't have necessarily been able to get back from on our own, is really helpful. It's really handy. I've talked about that since I started doing this. When I came out of the monastery where I trained, I set up my life that there was just thing after thing after thing after thing after thing that I had to show up for, because I knew I would wander off into unconsciousness without that. And, you know, I was not unique in that. I have subsequently found out, you know, that's just how we are as human beings. So getting all those supports lined up for ourselves when we have the presence and the strength and the conscious awareness to do it, right? So if I feel like I want to jump in this, I want to make this commitment for myself, it's really important to do it then, because what's going to happen, of course, the voices are going to kick in and try to talk us out of it. And we're very trained to fall for that. So, yeah, now's the time.
Yes. And what I just saw as you were talking is my confidence to know that these practice opportunities bring me back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They work.
They work.
That if I sign up, I'll show up, and then I'm going to feel good, and life is going to work. And it's a building of faith and trust and confidence in the whole process.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that the more present and conscious we want to be, the more of those supports we want to line up. So as we know, as time has gone on, you know, we've introduced all kinds of things, reflective listening buddies and the tweets and texts and coaches, so that a person who really wants maximum support can have it, can have that kind of support every day. And it works.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a good deal.
And a couple of reminders before we start. To make a show, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And here we go.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Emily. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. It's been a very long time.
I know it has. Well, I don't want to know what you've been up to, do I? I don't want to know that. I just want to know how you are now, right? What's going on now?
Yes. It's so funny. I knew I was going to get on and that I was going to be first because I haven't called in forever. So, yeah.
And still
I'm
it's a
good.
Shock.
It's it's a little bit of a shock. I decided to do the year, whatever we're calling it, the year retreat. I think I signed up for mm-hmm. one a few years ago and never did anything with it. I haven't really been doing too much with Sangha, and I suddenly feel like I need to jump back in. I want to.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am, and calling. And
oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I sort of have a I don't know exactly how to ask it, but kind of looking for guidance in how do I jump back in? Like, there's so many things that I kind of practices that I used to have that I didn't completely let go of, but I sort of don't know where to start right now.
Okay, I have an idea.
Okay.
I think you should have a party.
Really? A
yeah.
party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a party.
What kind of party?
Yeah, it can have a small invitation list, like you.
Okay. Oh, just me.
And just you. And you celebrate all of what your life has been up to this point.
Uh-huh.
And you bring conscious awareness and appreciation to the practices that you have done in the past that have transformed your life, and the ones that you didn't let go, even though you were kind of off doing other things and practice wasn't your first priority, still you maintained, it sounds like, obviously,
yeah.
a level of conscious awareness, and you have been practicing, even though it didn't have a formal look to it. You weren't doing it the way the voices would say you should be doing it to qualify as practice. You've still been practicing. And when you got to a certain point in your life, you said, okay, now it's time to be a little more formal with this. And here
yeah.
you are. So to bring a lot of appreciation to that whole process so that, that you have a good, strong sense of where you are now, which I suspect will bring a greater clarity to what you want to focus on moving forward and how you're going to do that in your life in a way that really takes care of you.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. It's so funny, when I was waiting to talk to you, I was, you know, in that sort of thinking about what I was going to say, and then I had this moment of, oh yeah, and Sherry's going to tell me something, and I have no idea what she's going to say. And that was brilliant. Thank you.
And the whole process. So there, I saw a peace quote come through. It was something Ashwini said in the video retreat, and it's letting go the resistance to transformation is the transformation. And so in that, the process is the outcome. Having that celebration will acknowledge and reveal to you the transformation that has been happening,
yeah,
and give you a much clearer view of where you are now than you could possibly have without going through those steps of acknowledgement.
So how do you have a party for yourself? What do you?
Well,
you
now,
do
if I, now
want,
of course,
huh?
the last, you know what, the party that I'm most famous for is the depression party, and
yeah.
So you don't want that, right? But
no.
you make everything as, imagine that you're going to do this celebration for somebody you love. And then, and you want it to be an acknowledgement, a celebration of appreciation. And so you're really thinking of, and there's this, and this, and that happened, and that, and that, and oh, right, and that. And then it'll come to you how you want to do that. You know, are you going to make a speech? Are you going to, you know, with toasts and that sort of thing? Are you going to make little cards with each of the, you know, each acknowledgement cards that are placed around the, that get read and hopefully recorded. And then, you know, you have lovely things to eat and to drink, and you just have a wonderful time.
Oh, I love it. Okay. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think everybody will love it. And the what it does too is really acknowledge all of the aspects of you that participate in your life in I don't know what language to use, but in all of the ways that take care of you and move your life forward and that sort of thing. So there's, you know, there's the acknowledgement of how you've been with yourself physically with food and nutrition and exercise and how you've been with learning and growing and how you've been with relationships, with friends, with family, with how you've been with work and the contributions that you've made to the world and like that. And, of course, the voices want to come in and critique everything and say, well, it hasn't been that. But you know what the efforts are that people have made. And so this is the time for them to be applauded.
And then,
you know, Emily, I'll tell you, I hope everybody who's listening to this does this. I'm going to do it. It sounds like a giant amount of fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Who doesn't need this? And you know, traditionally, back in the old days, people would work for, you know, 30 or 40 years, and then along with their gold watch, you know, somebody would stand up and say, great job. And that's kind of it. But to have, or you die, right? And then everybody comes forward and says, oh, what a great person she was. She did this and that. Oh, I remember the time that she, you know, well, that doesn't just do us a lot of good. And so to do this kind of thing, I don't know, maybe we ought to do it periodically. Maybe it ought to be an annual thing. I don't know. But
like
for
a
you,
birthday. Yeah.
For you, oh, birthday. Oh, wow. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But for you in this transition point, feels like now's the time, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then that will be a kind of a marker, right? Here I am.
Yeah. I am. Okay.
Same,
kind of like
right.
You're on a big hike, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Here we are, and these trails have come together, and right. Okay. That's our direction. Okay. Here we go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then the direction for what I'm doing next is coming from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Because when we know where we are, it's much easier to have a sense of where we're going. Now, of course, in Zen, where we're going is where we are.
It's where we are.
Right? And that's fine. If just to acknowledge that, where I'm going is here.
Right.
And I'm here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Great.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful to be celebrating with you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks so much. Okay, good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. That was a fun conversation, Sherry.
I think we all should party, don't you?
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Robin from Pennsylvania.
Oh, hello, Robin. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is my first time calling.
I kind of suspected that because I don't remember hearing from Robin in Pennsylvania. Although sometimes, you know, something happens and I don't do this, and then I think, well, maybe, you know, they talked to somebody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is your first time.
Listened,
well,
yeah.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. I have been listening for 7 years, and, you know, I've done the email classes and ordered books and I did the recording and listening. I do that a lot. And my question is, I have never done a retreat, and I know that you're coming to Pennsylvania, I think, this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know, like, since I've never done a retreat,
with anybody, not just with us, with anybody.
Yeah, not with anybody.
Wow.
Do you think I should do the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat first? Like, should there be a sequence since I've never done anything like that?
Well, that's a really good question. Do you feel kind of a need to do There's Nothing Wrong With You? Does that feel like...
No.
You know, when you've read the books and you've practiced, you think, "Whew, yes, those voices. I gotta change my relationship with them."
Yeah, I mean, I feel I'm a homebody, and that's part of the problem. Like, I can stay connected through emails and but I would like to meet you guys someday. But then I don't want to leave my dog. That's a huge issue for me, and I don't like to travel, but I want to break through this year and sort of, it, you know, because this is the first time I've called in. That's a start. So maybe, you know, I could do a retreat this year, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, Robin, you can really do things in any order. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know, if you said, I was in a bookstore last month, and I found There's Nothing Wrong With You, and I read it, and it really opened my eyes. I mean, that's the world I've been living. I'd say you're a real candidate to do that retreat.
Okay.
But since you've been listening to this and practicing with us for 7 years, I think you're ready for the retreat. I think you'll enjoy it. It's close to home, like that. So, and then after that, then you're freed up. You can do whatever you decide to do next.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I just thought, you know, I had this question, and I did send an email this week to living compassion, and I'm kind of glad I didn't get an answer, because I thought, now this is it. After 7 years, I can finally call in with a question.
Good for you. Good for you. And yeah. It's not that bad, is it?
No, it's like I'm a little bit nervous. I thought it would be a lot harder than what this was, yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm glad.
Well, the voices always want us to believe that whatever it is that we're getting ready to do for ourselves is just going to be hellacious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we find out, oh, no, not. In fact, I just wrote to somebody recently who said, you know, the voices were killing her. And she said, you know, she was really scared because, well, what if they're right this time? And what if it is awful? And what if it does go to hell? And I said, well, you know, they've never been right before. Mm-hmm. So the odds are really in our favor that they're not going to be right this time either.
Yeah.
So we just risk it all and we find out. Yeah, I not only did I survive that, but gosh, I feel really good as a result of having done it.
Yeah, I'm really happy I finally did this. I mean, I cannot believe it took 7 years to get the courage to call in.
Well, yes, and you called in, which is the only thing that really matters, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't actually frame it that way. That what you were doing was getting ready for that time.
Yeah.
You know, you were practicing. You were learning. You were changing. You were getting comfortable. You were growing, right?
Yeah.
And so at some point you signed up for an email class. Right? And so, you know, we just go along. And then when it's time, it's like, the little image of being in the woods, you know, on a hike, and you get to a certain point and you look around and say, that trail's next.
Yeah.
And for you tonight, it was, I'm calling.
Yeah. And I have one other question or, you know, and then I'm done because I don't want to take up more than 5 minutes. I do the recording and listening, and I did it for like 2 weeks. I hit this point where the voices, it's almost excruciating that I actually have to just stop for a day or two. It's almost like EKC wins. Do you know what I mean?
And yes, that we do not want to have happen.
Yeah, and
if you got on that recorder and just went, yeah, 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 I'm going to record, you can't stop me, it would be better than getting into them.
Yeah.
Plus, it would make you laugh every time you heard it later.
Yeah. Because I stop, and then, okay, a day or two later, I go back to listening to what I've recorded. But I hit these walls sometime where I have to stop. It's like I feel defeated. But it's only temporary.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and that's good. It's probably like, everything else, you're just working up to the point where you say, no, I'm not doing this. Enough.
Yeah.
Enough of this. This is nonsense.
Yeah.
Because every time you start again, they lose. You know, what's happening is that they're talking you into quitting temporarily, but then you come back. Now, the hope is, of course, that you'll quit permanently, but you're not quitting permanently.
No.
So basically, they're losing strength and you're gaining strength. And again, one of the things that can be very helpful in this is to record about what goes on with you.
Okay.
Not to let them record, but for you to record about how it feels and how excruciating it is and how committed you are to getting past them, because you can see what an evil influence they are in your life and like that. So, using those opportunities to gain some ground too can be really helpful. But trust yourself and trust the process and trust life. And you know, as long as you keep showing up, it's all good.
Okay, that sounds good.
And the other thing about it is, somewhere down the road, you know, you're gonna meet somebody, and they're gonna be struggling with a recording and listening practice, and you're going to be able to say to them, oh. Yeah, those voices tried to kill me when I was starting to do this. And I, blah, 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 whatever, you know, and you can tell them the stages that you went through in order to be successful. And that's a huge part of what we're doing in awareness practice.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It sounds like I'll see you online in an email class, although
yeah.
I won't see you because I won't know who you are, but, you know,
right,
we'll be together.
Right.
And then we may talk again, but if all else fails, we'll see one another this summer in Pennsylvania. Good
yeah.
Lord willing and the creek don't rise, as we always
That's
like to
right.
say.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Robin. That was fun. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, sir.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hello, Lynn.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. This is the first time I'm calling in, too, so it's kind of exciting.
This is a big night for us.
It is.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Wow, I didn't expect to come on, but I had a feeling I would. So, you know, I went to the New Year's retreat, and oh, my gosh. And then I got back, and, you know, it was a shock. And but I made some significant decisions about my lifestyle back then, and I've been continuing that this month, and food specific, and I made some additional changes also in the last week or so, and oh my gosh, the voices have been just screaming. And you know, I'm a pretty healthy practitioner, like I do all the different, you know. Yeah, like I've got a recording and listening practice, a pretty substantial one, and then I do the reflective listening buddy. But it's hard being alone. I'm not alone, but I feel like right now I'm a little bit quasi in the dark room today, so it's a little challenging. I had some news that came up that was a little disappointing today, but it's the voices. So anyway, that's kind of me right now, but making a lifestyle change like this is, I guess I'm calling in for support to kind of see.
Yeah. we are so heavily conditioned to believe that we have our own best interest at heart. If you just polled the average person in this country, I don't know about other countries, but in this country, I'm pretty sure if you could get them to be in touch with it and articulate it, they would tell you that that's what they believe, that they're making decisions for themselves in their own best interest.
Mm.
And, of course, that is such extraordinary, colossal delusion that it's just staggering. Because what we get to see in a situation like yours, and I know this is not the first time you've seen it, but it's always sobering each time we do, is that system that we're conditioned to believe is, in quotes, who I am, is me, actually is doing everything it can to destroy you.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You're trying to do something good for yourself.
Right.
You're trying to do something that will make you healthier and happier.
Mm-hmm.
And those voices, that system is doing everything to try to undermine that, thwart it, talk you out of it, get you to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just, I mean, it's there's no question that that's what's happening. It's not like, well, they really are hoping. No. No. You're trying to make a change in your life that you want to make so that you will feel better and be happier, and that system is devoted to your failure.
Yeah.
It's huge to get.
Yeah.
It really is, because, of course, what the system wants us to do is to believe, in this case, it's you. It's your fault. There's something wrong with you. You don't X, Y, Z. You're not A, B, C. Whatever it is that's wrong is you. But when you step back the way you can at a moment like this, what you see is, I'd be fine if that system would shut up, leave me alone, and let me do what I want to do. But it's like some sort of diabolical torture system. It just tap, 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 until we finally, in most cases, just scream uncle and do whatever it tells us to do so that it'll shut up and leave us alone.
Yeah, it's so diabolical, because it's, you know, like I did the bamboozle class last year, and it was just brilliant because I saw many, many things that, but like for this particular, like it's using things that are just not even related to food, you know, unrelated to food actually, but so that I'm questioning my, you know, myself. It's really, I guess, questioning itself or what have you. But
well, no. Conditioning is getting you to question yourself.
Okay.
So you decide that you want to do something, and then you can see the campaign begin, right?
Right.
So if it's food, you know, I decide that I'm not going to eat sugar. Okay. Mm. Well, now, of course, I think sugar is this isolated something or other that I either eat or don't eat. But when I decide I'm not going to eat sugar, what I see is that it's interwoven in every single aspect of my life. It's the reward and it's the punishment. It's the feel better, the feel worse. It's keeping my whole personality, in quotes, in place. So if I feel stress, what I'm trained to do is eat sugar as a way of distracting myself from the stress, making myself feel better so that I'm not aware of the stress, right? So now I'm not going to eat sugar, and so then the system just goes after the stress, because if the stress gets bad enough, I will eat sugar. And then, of course, I get a beating for having failed. And you with me?
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's not simple and straightforward. So if I decide I'm not going to drink coffee, then the campaign starts in about how tired I am and how I'm never going to get everything done that I need to get done, and how am I going to, and there's just the energy is not good, and, you know, maybe you should go to the doctor. Maybe there's something wrong with your thyroid. Maybe there's probably.
Yeah. The attacks are really personal right now. It's about, like you're not worth it. Like you're worthless, really. That's what's kind of coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like,
and
yeah.
Go ahead.
It's not like I'm following the plan that is really good for me, but this other stuff is coming up that's making me feel like crap.
That's right. And sooner or later, here's the campaign. you're going to give up. So why bother? Why bother doing these hard things that take care of you? You're not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Just quit. Just give up. What difference does it make? Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that feel like it fits? I don't want to talk you into something, but...
No, I mean, that's the stuff that, well, yeah. I mean, that eventually is what would happen, and then I start all over again, and the cycle begins again, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm not giving up.
That's right. And so I would suggest about 10,000 recordings to the person who would be vulnerable to hearing you're not worth it.
Hmm.
Because that person needs to know that you absolutely find her worth it. There is no life without her. And that you're not going to give up. You are not going to abandon her. You know, we can be honest in our relationships with ourselves because I can have the deepest, most sincere desire for something, and I can still get bamboozled. I can still get fooled, but it's not a failure. Okay? I got fooled. I got conned. I fell for it. I saw it. I'm coming back stronger than ever.
Hmm.
And that's the commitment that we're really making to ourselves. I'm not saying anything is going to be perfect. I'm saying I'm not going to give up.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
I really do hear you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that suggestion there. I will be doing that because that kind of hit my heart pretty hard. Yeah.
Yes, and you know, Lynn, if you can get a picture of the person that you suspect is receiving those messages, usually for most of it's somebody pretty young who started feeling at an early age, nobody really cares, I'm not that important, you know, it doesn't really matter about me, I'm not special. Yeah, and that little person, that young person, needs to know she is special. She is important. And that she is what you are going to commit to so that you are transformed in order to save her. Now we've hit basic Buddhism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you are willing to go through whatever you need to go through to become the conscious, compassionate awareness that can save her.
Yeah. I am committed.
There you go. And stay in touch, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's true. They're coming after you. And
yeah.
And that's when we, you know, we just need to get all the support we can possibly get.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn. And thanks for that fervorino, Sherry. That was wonderful.
It's so big what we're up against. It really is, and so worth it. Oh my gosh, to save a human being from suffering, I can't imagine that there is a higher calling.
Yeah.
And each of us has one, as we know.
One person.
Each of us has one. Yeah. Which makes it manageable. You know, if we all had to save everybody, that would be kind of rugged. But we just start with the one, as my teacher said, the person who's suffering you can actually experience. That's the person. That's the one. We don't have to wonder, is that really suffering? Is that? Yes. Yes, that human being is suffering. I'm going to devote my life to ending suffering for that very fine human being.
Yes.
It's such an important, it's critical. It's everything for us to do. And to keep in mind that it's also the greatest gift that we can give to the world. You know, I was looking at that, been looking at it obsessively almost. I would say as close to obsessively as I get, because I'm so into this thing of what's spiritual and what's not spiritual, and the whole downtrodden means spiritual and not having as somehow morally superior or whatever the heck it is that's going on with people. And what I was looking at was not living, it's back to the Marianne Williamson quote that's so famous, living little tiny fear-based controlled lives is not a gift to the world. Living great, big, kind, compassionate, open, loving, supportive lives, that's a gift to the world. And that's what happens when we save that suffering human being, when we release that suffering human being from the prison of ego.
Yeah, that's the truth. And that's what I mm-hmm. that's what I see. That's what I observe.
Mm-hmm.
That's my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 We're not going to become selfish by living great big lives. What we're going to become is generous and kind and caring, supportive, concerned, willing, grateful, generous. Did I start with generous? I hope so. We begin and end gratitude and generosity.
Then it's great.
All right, you got anybody? Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's great to see that bigness, that big life in service to life.
Yes. Yes.
And to me, that's the model I see in practice, you know, as compared to what I might see in the mainstream media.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly so. But when we give our lives to life, life rewards us by enabling us to give our lives to life. And it's a wonderful thing because, of course, giving our life to life is giving our lives to joy, to compassion,
yeah.
to loving kindness. That's what we're giving our lives to, and so that's what we have.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Great.
It makes people want to get on a. It makes people want to get on a plane and drive to New York City to land in a snowstorm, to do an all-day workshop, to get on a plane, to fly to Zambia, to begin a process of adding another 200 children to the program
wow.
there, so that we round up to a grand total of 1,000 children
yeah.
eating and going to school and that sort of thing. That's what happens to us when we give our lives to life.
Wow. Wow. And a
mm-hmm.
second fervorino tonight.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, things get really big. And another word that we human beings often have that goes with big is exciting.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. exciting.
All right. You got somebody else there for me to yell
yes.
at?
And
okay, good.
Yes, that is exciting. Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you? Was that me echoing, or did you ask me how I am?
I think I asked you how you were.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know,
good.
I'm just so incredibly grateful for practice.
Me too.
I just can't even imagine life without it.
I can't either.
Yeah.
I can't either.
So,
and that's sincere. I know you're sincere, and I am sincere. I cannot imagine life without it. When I go to what I see so many people struggling with and facing, going up against every day, I am filled with both admiration and amazement. I can't imagine doing it. I cannot imagine life without practice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I get you know, tears of gratitude, you know, just come
mm-hmm.
up immediately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so grateful for this opportunity to really look at money and look at all of the karma that comes up around money. And
mm-hmm.
so yesterday I went to I just dropped by and saw someone, and they have a business similar that I have. And so I went and saw this beautiful place that they had created for themselves. And this is a person I had who had worked under me and kind of I'd mentored for a while. And so I went, and I was super, super happy for them. And it was amazing how when I walked out, the voices just kind of slammed in around, you know, you're just never going to be successful. You can't do this. You know, you can train people, but you can't, you will never have the success that, you know, others can have. And there's this whole belief system around other people can do it, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really
so interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. You can train other people to do it, but you can't do it.
Yes, because I can train them to do this business thing that I do, but I can't. Well, this work thing, but I can't do business. Like that's the mentality. You cannot do business. You're not a business
uh-huh.
person. You don't know. You can't do money. You always screw that up.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So you train them in these skills, and then they go out, and they're successful with those skills, but you don't get to be successful.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and it's really, I mean, it was so, and what I saw yesterday when I was with this person who I just love dearly, I don't know the difference between jealousy and envy. I don't know which is which, but there was a lot of, like, not that I would never want it for her, but there was a sense that comes from this belief that I'll never get it, but the sense of jealousy that came up around I want what she has, but it
mm-hmm.
didn't feel good. You know, it wasn't. It mm-hmm. was from it was from conditioning.
Oh, of course. So the whole setup is, so you can obviously do good things because you. You train people to do things that enable them to be successful in life, right? So
yeah.
you get to train these people, and you can feel good about that, and,
uh-huh.
yeah. And then they yeah. go on, and they get to do the same good work that you do, that you've trained them to do. Plus, they get to be successful, so they get to have it sounds like a nice place to do their work and mm-hmm. That sort of thing, a beautiful place
yeah.
in which to spend their days and that, but you don't get to have any of that, right? So
right.
on the one, it's like a tennis match. You get to do that. You can't do that.
Mm.
You do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, you can't do that. Yes, you need to do that, but no, you can't do that. And then
yeah.
and then you go to that place and it is pointed out to you how well that person is doing and what a beautiful place that is and how successful they are. And then it's pointed out that you can't do that, you can't have that, and then it's pointed out that you're really not a very nice person for being jealous.
Yeah.
You know, if
yeah.
you've been walking along with another person who was doing that to you, it would be justifiable homicide if you offed them right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because it happens inside the head,
yeah.
we're just left with the effects of it and the feeling awful that follows.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I did today? I got some information about someone who had gotten coaching, and so I hired a business coach today for my business.
Uh-huh.
And so scared to death about investing this money for a business coach. But I feel like I just have been spending 15 years trying to build a business that I always just tread water on. And so
mm-hmm.
I had a phone call with this person and I, you know, what could you do for me? And what she said sounded so like, oh, okay, you're just going to teach me the skills that I can't seem to know. And so I hired her. And I couldn't tell sometimes I can't tell with this issue whether it's conditioning saying, oh, don't do that, don't do it, oh, my gosh, you're going to spend that money, this, you know, or if it's truly, it doesn't feel like intuition, but it's, you know, like, oh, this isn't wise. And
well,
so I just, yeah.
Here's the thing. you know, first of all, we do whatever we do, and it's a learning experience, right? What
yeah.
I was going to suggest to you is when you told me about this other, is this a woman who you
yes.
taught and now, okay.
Yes.
So to wonder if your relationship with her is such that she could, in some ways, mentor you.
Mm.
How did she do that? What you know, to just get together periodically and have a cup of tea
yeah.
and find out
yeah.
how she does that. What does she think? What does she say to herself? What does she believe? Because, you know, we can have all the organizational tools in the world.
Yep.
But the organizational tools can't make us use them.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? It was interesting. Go ahead. No, please.
Well, no, just that if the issue is you don't know how, that's one thing. If the issue is the voices of karmic and karmic conditioning won't let you, then having more know-how simply fuels the self-hate when you continue not to do what you now actually know how to do.
And it really does feel like I don't know how to do this world because it's really filled with a lot of internet stuff, marketing things that you have to do and blog, all of this stuff that is now required in this field that I truly do not know really how to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it'll be very interesting to learn it.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you along with it to spend to do a lot of looking at what keeps me from having a nice space in which to do the work.
Yes. Yeah.
Because without that, okay, again, it feels like it's too edged, right?
Mm.
Yes. So, in other words, if what you want is more clients, okay, that's one issue. If what you want is more prosperity, that won't necessarily come from more clients.
Yes. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm getting a lot of, I've been exposed to this place that get kind of assisting me in seeing that. And so I'm seeing how that attitude of prosperity shows up everywhere, whether it's finances or whether it's everywhere.
Yes. So my way of talking about that is that generous people are generous across the board. Ungenerous people are ungenerous across the board. People will get fixated on a particular piece of content because that's where karmic conditioning has them focused, but it's an across-the-board thing. So a lack of prosperity, a lack of generosity toward yourself, okay, a lack of ability to enjoy, those are all aspects, right? And that's across the board. So you walk into that woman's office or space, whatever it was that she has, and something happens to you energetically. And I don't mean jealousy. I mean you appreciate. You have a certain
beautiful
feeling.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a space that you want to be in. And you realize that that doesn't happen in you, in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yes.
I would suggest that that's what you're really looking at, that the external manifestations are mirroring an internal orientation.
Yes.
Which we could always say with our lives in the way that we say body and mind are one. Okay?
Yeah.
So the way we are living externally mirrors what's going on inside us, and what we're taught to, what ego would have us believe is, if you change those externals, that will change the internals.
Yep.
But the way I see it, and of course therefore I think it's so, is that we change the internals and then the externals are available to us. Because then all of our life is reflecting our internal being.
Absolutely, yeah. I could totally see how that is so. And I've seen it in other areas, so there is no way it can't apply here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a workshop, isn't it?
Oh, it is a workshop, and it's one I want to take on.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot, again, circling back, a lot of gratitude for practice to have that, to be able to look at this in such a way that it can be transformative.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's we're very lucky. We are incredibly fortunate.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
So.
All right.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone.
Uh huh. And good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. That was a fascinating conversation and a wonderful show, Sherry.
I think so. I'm going to go to sleep now.
Wow. I hope you feel better very soon.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.